Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
All right, Dan, so we don't do a show for a couple of weeks, and now we finally have a lot of news to talk about.
Yeah, definitely, you know, with the Brock Nelson signing, which we're going to touch on, and there's some other news and notes that we can get into, and we can also play a little more speculation before we get to the NHL draft coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yes, and we'll start off with the major signing of the offseason so far, Brock Nelson getting a six-year, $36 million contract. I mean, I've wavered all year about bringing back Nelson, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's the right call. He would have gotten more money, I think, on the open market. You know, he was probably the, second best UFA center?
Yeah, between him and Kevin Hayes, probably.
Yeah, I think those two are comparable, and they're both right behind, you know, Matt Duchene, which I personally think it takes the honors out of Duchene.
I don't think it does. I mean, why? I guess is the question.
Well, I don't think he ever was going to come here anyway.
So I'm sure they're still going to kick the tires. I honestly think it's between Columbus and Nashville, and the fact that he's just bought a brand new house in Nashville, you know, kind of maybe puts them in the driver's seat. Although in order to do that, they're going to have to move some salary.
Yeah, they're going to have to somehow get rid of Kyle Cherz's contract, which is not a nice one.
And Subban, yeah.
Subban too, because they have a couple guys coming up, you know, in the next year or so. But that's their problem, not ours.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about Brock Nelson? He had a career year. I mean, I don't know if you want to, you know, equate it to basically a free agent season or the Trotz effect. I think it's probably more Trotz than the free agent
effect.
But he had 25 goals. In his six full years, he's had 20 goals, four out of six seasons. So 1 year, I think he finished with 19 goals.
That's right.
He plays every game. He doesn't get hurt. And basically, when he doesn't score or basically get on the score sheet, assist or anything like that, he was noticeable this year. In years past, he definitely wasn't at all.
He was, and it's not that bad. He went from 4-5 to 6. I don't think that's a big a deal. If he got to the open market, he'd probably get around 7. It's funny because, you know, the national media will crush the Islanders when someone leaves the team, and then they'll crush them when they stay, and they'll just say it's a bad contract. So, look, going from 4-5 to 6 is just inflation in my mind. It's not that bad of a deal. You're right. He 50-plus points, plus 20, his best complete season as a New York Islander under Barry Trotz, and who he also said one of the reasons why he wanted to stay was because of Trotz. Also, if you let Nelson go, who else was out there? You're going to bring in Derek Brassard? You're going to bring Jason Spezza and try and sell those as top two centers? I don't think you are. You would probably have to make a trade. Or try and get, which you can still do, but the free agent market when it comes to center position is super thin. So I think, you know, you go with what you know, and that, in that case, it's Brock Nelson.
Right, and I mean, I like Kevin Hayes. I think I like him a little more than you do. And there, I think
they're both not a fan. Yeah,
they're both comparable players. But if Nelson walks and you know, overpay for Hayes, which they would have been probably $7.5 million to bring Kevin Hayes in here, and I think
probably
would have
yes.
been a little too much for that player.
Right. Right, and I think if Nelson hit the open market, he would have got 70 a year. I really feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, but if the national media is going to criticize this signing, at least understand what the difference is between a restricted free agent and an unrestricted free agent. I mean, I've seen, you know, a lot of tweets how he's making, I think, just under what Nathan MacKinnon makes. Nathan MacKinnon signed that deal when he was a restricted free agent. He bought out a couple UFA years. It was similar to a John Tavares contract. And I think he probably has the best contract in the league right now, Nathan MacKinnon.
Or Mark Scheifele. Scheifele's is pretty cheap, too.
Exactly. It's like what John Tavares signed.
But, you know, the thing is, too, is like MacKinnon wasn't a 95-point player when he signed that deal.
No, he wasn't.
And now, I mean, his next contract, which I think is in 2 years, he'll get whatever the max is, he'll get it.
Yeah, and, you know, deservedly so. He's been fantastic. So now they have the number two center locked up. I was hoping sometime last week that we would hear news about Robin Lehner. We didn't. I still think that's going to get done before the draft. That's the next, you know, I guess, priority. I would probably say 5 years, $20 million.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere around the 4 or 5 years, around $4 to $5 million a year. I think that's what you can expect. I think that'll get it done. It's just I think Lee is the tricky one. I still think that'll get done too, but it is of the two deals, I think that one's trickier.
Yeah, I think so too. I would not. I mean, I know he wants 7 years. I don't think he's getting 7 years anywhere. I think it's
where is he said he wanted 7 years? I hadn't seen that.
It's been reported a while ago that his camp was looking, probably close to seven, where the Islanders would love to do
four. No, he's lucky if he gets five. He's a 4 or 5. Yeah. I mean, he's what, 29 years old?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame his camp for aiming for that. You know, totally want the security, but if you get 5 years, 30, 5 years, $7 million a year, I think that's what it's going to take to get him signed.
Yeah, I think you could live with that.
Yeah, ideally, 4 years would be perfect, but I don't think that's going to. If that's the case, then Lou is a genius, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a tough situation because you love the player and you don't want him to walk. You don't want your captain to walk again. But at the same time, he has a certain skill set and he needs help around him. He's not a player who can always create on his own. So, you're concerned about what he looks like in a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then they,
but at the same time, you can't worry about 3 years from now.
No, you
can't. And right now he's a 30 goal scorer who can really help a team. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll, and you knew his numbers were going to drop last year as a result of the
Trotz system. Well, I think the biggest problem why his numbers dropped is because how bad the power play was.
Yeah, it was terrible. And he got a lot of power play goals.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of not having power play goals, I think that if they don't really end up signing a third line center, I know we mentioned this in previous shows, that I think that Casey Zegras will get a look at that role.
On the third line. I don't think they're going to break up the fourth line. Now it seems like Clutterbuck will be ready for camp.
Third line, fourth line. I mean, the fourth line got a lot more playing time. They were much more effective than the third line.
I think they'll bring a third line center in. Now, you want to tell me you bring a Brassard as your third line center? I wouldn't have to. That wouldn't be terrible. You can always trade for a center. Nashville's going to be looking to dump some money. If you could get, I don't love Kyle Turris, but if you could get Nashville to eat some money, you bring that contract down under five, like a 4.8 or 4.9, that could be attractive.
Yeah, or you can just roll the dice and bring back Fibula for one more year.
Yeah, you could, but I kind of want to get younger and a little quicker there.
I do too, but I really don't want to have a long term guy there. I don't.
I agree, but I'm just saying if I'm going to sign a guy for a year or 2 years, you actually could. There's no centers in this organization besides Kovula.
Yeah, and he still needs some more seasoning down there.
It doesn't really matter. They're literally there are no centers in this organization.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, speaking of
which means if they keep their draft pick, they got to draft one.
Yeah, and speaking of centers, they actually brought one back over the weekend. They re-signed Tanner Fritz, who plays more of the wing on the Islanders, but plays a lot of center down Bridgeport to a 2-year deal. First year was a 1-way deal. I think it was like $700,000, which is totally fine. Second year is a 2-way deal. And I think it's like $275,000 guaranteed.
He's getting good money to play in Bridgeport.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. He's a solid player, solid guy. I just don't understand why so many fans are down on Tanner Fritz.
I hadn't seen that. He's an extra forward. He's an entry call up. I would expect him to be in Bridgeport regardless of him signing a one way deal. I don't think he would get claimed. This organization needs centers. It needs versatility, and he's a guy who can play bottom 6 minutes, who can kill penalties, who really skates well, is physical, and he's earned every minute he's gotten in this league. So I have no problem with him coming back as a utility role player.
And I honestly think he'll end up being the 13th guy this year, or even get fourth line minutes here and there. Because when he plays, he's effective.
He is.
I mean. He's got a scoring
In the right role. Look, if he's playing next to Barzell, then that's a problem.
Yeah, well, totally, totally. I mean, I think that we won't see Johnson on this team next year. I think he'll be the one going to Bridgeport.
That's possible.
There's really no role for him on this team.
No,
and no one's going to be claiming him, so he could be kind of the guy who rides the bus, to the Islanders back in Bridgeport.
No, that's very possible.
Which is totally fine. And speaking of the next, they signed a little down to the wire because of the, 2016 draft pick had to get signed by June 1st. They signed Arno Dandido, right? Durando. Durando.
Durando. That's
Durando.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, don't worry. We'll learn it.
we'll learn it, yeah, especially because he'll be in Bridgeport this year.
level deal. It should be interesting. I'm not sure what to, you know, when we have Russ Cohen on from Sportsology in a few weeks, we should talk to him about him.
Yeah.
Because I think once again, he's an energy guy. I think he's going to provide a spark in a bottom six role in Bridgeport. Not quite sure what his offensive upside is. I mean, he put up nice numbers this year, but he was playing the overage year. So 20-year-old playing right. against a bunch of 16 and 17-year-olds. I don't put a lot of stock into that. But with that being said, he's had a great playoffs, great Memorial Cup. So, you know, you get him under contract, you give him Bridgeport, and you see what he has.
Yeah, and he'll fill a role probably gone by Connor Jones, who left to play with his brother Kellen up in Europe.
So correct.
They'll free up a spot there. And, yeah, you know what? It's low risk. Ward, you sign the ELC, and then you'll see what happens. You know, it's
exactly.
You need some young guys down there, and it's, you know, it doesn't hurt at all. But, yeah, so that's pretty much the signings that they've had, the three over the week. We'll wait to see about Leonard. We'll wait to see about Lee.
We expect Everly to be gone. We expect him to reach.
Yeah, market. Even though, like, Lou had a little, like, I guess, powwow on Friday, and, you know, with some of the reporters, Arthur Staple had a nice article on The Athletic. He still states that he wants to re-sign all his guys. I'm sure he's just putting up a front for that. I don't think there's been any contact with Lou or Everly's people. And I don't think there really should be. I mean, it should be a plan C. If they can't get any of those guys, then you reach out back to Everly. Because if the doomsday, I guess, effect would be they don't re-sign anybody, or they don't sign anybody, and they let Everly go, then they're really screwed.
I don't think that's going to happen, no. They're going to bring people in, whether it's via trade or whether free agency. There's going to be new players on this roster.
All right,
you might even see that at the draft, although I do think they're going to keep their first-round pick. I think they need to this year.
Well, okay, so that brings me to, I guess, we'll save the offer sheets for a little while, Dan, because I know those are your favorite topics.
Yeah.
There was one report that Patrick Laine of the Winnipeg Jets is a little unhappy and he wants out. Whether that is a negotiating ploy to get a nice contract.
They made it seem like he just doesn't want to play and live in Winnipeg, which, you know,
which who can blame
is not the most
him.
Friendly yeah. city in the world. So.
Right, exactly. And he is a, you know.
And it seems like Trouba is the same way, too. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, so let's have a little fun with this one. Although this is like a low percentage that this is actually going to happen with the Islanders.
Correct.
I sell the farm. There is not one prospect who I say is untouchable for Patrick Laine. I am sorry. That includes Noah Dobson.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean.
I agree. You put him next to Barzal and
exactly.
the power play south, and there's 45, maybe 50 goals.
Yeah, I mean, you basically say, okay, you write down, you give him the roster. You give Kevin Chevalier the roster and say, okay, pick. You know, it's
right.
like, you know, Mr. Miyagi to Daniel with the cars. Choose. Because that's
exactly. No, they're really, you know, there's certain players that you, and look, if Mitch Marner's available via trade as well, same thing.
You do the same thing.
Everybody's available.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like, oh, I don't want to get this guy. You know, this guy's untouchable. He's going to be good. Patrick Laine.
If Braden Point's available, you know,
he's
same
another
thing.
Guy. Absolutely. He's another
there's
guy.
Not many guys I wouldn't trade for him, although I don't know if I'd trade Dobson for him, but that's about it.
Yeah, I probably for him, I would hold on to him, but the other two, Marner and Laine. Laine's 21 years old. He has over 100 goals in the league already.
I know
he had a down year
and
last
year. And you get him with Trotz, I think it'd be great.
Totally. You know, Trotz is not going to let, you know, what's his name, Laine take a night off.
No, I mean, he's very similar in his skill set to Ovechkin, and I think Trotz would be perfect for him. But, like, we're really spitballing right now because it's, you know, the middle of summer.
Yeah, downtime, so totally. But he's totally one guy that I would sell the farm for. And that includes throwing in the number one pick as well, which at
of course.
Like,
but, yeah, I do think push comes to shove. Maybe they trade their number one for next year, but they don't have a ton of picks in this draft. Thanks, Kurt Snow.
Yeah.
And they have a desperate need for centers in this organization, so I definitely think they're going to keep that first-round pick. Mm-hmm. But like I said, a little foreshadowing. When we talk to Russ, we'll break down, if they do keep that pick, where they would stay. But I do expect that they're going to draft there.
Yeah, and I would probably hold on to this year because next year is when you're going to have to get rid of all the draft picks. So starting with number one for any offer sheet, right, Dan?
Oh, Now, look, they're, I'm not saying Marner won't move. I'm not saying a guy like Laine won't move. I'm not saying any of those guys won't move, but they're not going to get offer sheeted. They'll just get traded.
I mean, so they'll certainly talk to them. I mean, during the window before July 1st. But who knows? Why wouldn't you just throw out the money, one team?
A team will pay for them, but I think it'll be easier to trade for a player and then just sign said player.
It'd be easier, but why wouldn't team A say I'm going to offer?
Because no one offer sheets anybody.
But you know what? Gloves are off now.
There's been other players to get the RFA. Eichel wasn't offer sheeted.
No, because I don't think there's an issue with some of these guys. There really wasn't any salary cap crunch with the Sabres.
Gaudreau wasn't offer sheeted.
Because it wasn't a salary cap crunch. There's going to be one. They already have two players on.
Oh, hey, Matthew Tkachuk's an RFA. What do you mean, eh?
He's a great player. He's
80-point player.
They're not. You have to RFA. You have to offer sheet guys with salary cap issue teams. That's why.
Well, the Flames aren't exactly I read a report today that the Flames are trying to move Hamonic and or TJ Brody because they need to free up some cap space.
And I think both those guys can even move easily. I mean, Hamonic's contract is still a solid contract.
And he had a better season last year, but he still can't stay healthy.
No, he can't. But his contract is still not bad. But Toronto, I mean, they still have to sign Kapanen, who's
And he's probably going to get traded.
And he'll probably get traded. So,
and Johansson.
Yeah, exactly. So if you offer sheet Marner, which I think they'll match no matter what they offer, those other two guys are as good as gone.
And then Freddie, you probably lose Freddie Anderson in a year too.
Yeah. Well, aren't they looking to trade Nikita Zaitsev?
Yeah, and Marlowe. They're trying to move both those guys.
Yeah, Marlowe too. Oh, yeah, too. The rumor was he's going to our friend Michael Vartan's Kings.
That was one of the rumors. I saw another team too, and I just can't remember who it was. But
yeah, it was a West Coast team, right? I believe, or Western Conference team. I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the thing that too with the Kings, I saw the report with the Kings where they would take. Oh, well, Phoenix was interested as well. But both Phoenix and LA said you have to give us one of your best prospects as well to take that bad contract.
Well, I don't blame them.
So maybe if you're either of those teams, you're like, okay, we'll take Marlowe, but you're giving me Bracco too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Zach got Bracco's stick during.
Of course he did.
Yeah, of course. He had another nice year with the sticks. This was actually pretty funny when Charlotte Checkers came. Right now we're playing for the Calder Cup. He made a Hayden Fleury sign. He misspelled both Hayden and Fleury.
It's that Trumbull education.
Totally. And he still got the stick.
So, that's well done.
You know, because there's no such thing as autocorrect when you're writing with a pen and paper. Yeah.
I'm sure it was hard for him to actually write something too. He goes to Trumbull High, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? I mean, who can write now? How often do people actually write with pen and paper?
I know.
It's a struggle,
You want to get that too. Right, though.
Yeah, you would think so. And
Moving forward. Joke.
Yeah. But he doesn't have to worry about that stick now because he already has it. But that was actually pretty funny.
Oh, man. Hey, did we ever revisit our over-unders?
We did not. So
that's something we're going to have to do during the off-season.
Yeah, probably next show because I actually got to find
where we're. You actually said you have to actually go find them, right?
Yeah, because I really don't want to listen to one of our past shows to listen and write it down. So
you don't even want to listen to us either. That's great. Great promotion for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It's so bad. I don't want to listen to it. I'll find it. I got it written down somewhere. I don't think this was as bad as last season's because I think that was awful.
I think we did better. I think we did okay.
Yeah, I think we did a lot better. But after the break, we'll talk a little more about Noah Dobson next year.
Yeah, and offer sheets.
All right. So we both hate this rule, Dan, and. Nothing's ever
going to
change.
What, offer sheets?
No, not the offer sheets.
Okay.
The AHL age restriction rule when it comes to the Canadian juniors.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely hate it with a passion.
Right. Because you look at a player like Oliver Wahlstrom, who was drafted out of the U.S. Amateurs, went to play in college, was able to sign his entry-level contract, and he's playing in Bridgeport at the age of 18. Bodie Wild had a very, very successful season, also a little bit older, but he was able to play in Bridgeport next year due to being drafted out of U.S. amateurs, and that leads us to Noah Dobson.
No, he was in Canadian juniors.
No, he was, but he was drafted out of.
So he was in the USHL when he was drafted.
Yes.
Then he went to Canadian juniors.
Right, exactly.
See how confusing this is?
It's ridiculous. It's like where you were drafted. That's the thing.
It shouldn't be like two. Is it 3 years? So you shouldn't be 2 years. It should just be 1 year past your draft. I'm right. Fine with that.
Yeah, and there should be some exceptions, like Noah Dobson, for example. He won two Memorial Cups back to back. What else does he have to prove?
What does he have to prove?
You know, so I think that should be an automatic. You know, you should be able to sign and play in the AHL. That should be one. Or a team should be the Islanders should be able to negotiate with an OHL team for possibly buyout. You give them, you know, I don't know how much, whatever. It's a negotiable fee to get the player there.
Right.
You know, it's because it's.
I always thought your AHL team could have one exceptional status position.
That too. Because
they actually have that in Canadian juniors.
Yeah, exactly. You know, John Tavares had that, and it's kind of like
who?
What exactly? Okay, sorry, I mentioned his name. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like it's like hypocritical there. You can get the player to play when he's younger, but he must stay until he's 20.
Right.
You know, that's a little hypocritical.
Well, I just thought it was 3 years. It was 3 years of juniors he has to play.
Right. And it's, I don't know.
You know, it's yeah, exactly. It's like the book for those rules would be like 700 pages. Yeah. So you're right. It's every year we end up doing this too. Say, hey, is this guy eligible? Is that guy eligible?
Yeah.
But we do know that Dobson either has to play in the NHL or go back next year. But we expect him to be competing for a roster spot out of camp. And it sounds like Lou Lamoriello does as well.
Yeah, he was very high in him, and the way he played, I don't see why not.
He was the best defenseman in Canadian juniors.
Yes, absolutely, and he's clearly the best prospect in the Islander organization now.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's totally, you know, I think it would have left Nick Leddy expendable anyway, because you have certain guys as well, but if he's ready, you look to trade Leddy this offseason to get him forward, without a question.
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's Dobson or Aho will both be okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think they're fighting for one spot right now.
Yeah, it's a shame because you have we both love Mayfield and we both like Hickey, but if you can get one of those guys as your extra forward, I'm sorry, extra defenseman, that would definitely help. And you still have Johnny Boychuk, who you know is not going to play a full season.
Right.
So there's enough guys where you can somewhat get an Aho or even a Dobson, both in
the lineup. It's actually a crappy situation for Aho, because if push comes to shove and they both have kind of equal camps, you send Aho back down because you can't.
He can't go back down, right?
Right.
You know, but it's a shame because I like Aho. He's a good player, but if they're going to waste him down there, you might as well just trade him for some sort of.
I don't think they're wasting him. It's not
a waste, but I mean, it's like. It's a victim of circumstance, because last year, no defenseman got hurt.
Right, and this year, six guys could get hurt, so who knows?
I know, but you would hope that he doesn't kind of waste... I'm not saying the Islanders are wasting him down there, but he's just being wasted down there in the minor.
Well, push comes to shove. If you needed him to make a deal, and it was the right deal, then you do it, but you're not. You're definitely not trading an asset that high, unless you're getting the return you want.
Absolutely. You're not just getting rid of him for the sake of getting rid of him. No. Definitely.
Right. Hey, and also I'm going to mention his name, like Beetlejuice, because you know, in little Lamoriello scrummy, they did talk about this. The Islanders expect to qualify Josh Hosank.
Yes.
Because why not? Let's bring him up.
You know, I mean, what's the risk in qualifying?
No, there's no risk at all.
There's nothing. I mean, he's down there. Let him be on the straight and narrow. He's probably putting his foot in his mouth at least once during the season. But if he does it and he plays well, it's a bonus. And he can somehow make his way up here again, go for it.
Yeah, his new contract will come with like a 10% raise and 7 alarm clocks.
Exactly. I mean, I just hope that Del Cole somehow makes the top 9. That's I really want to see more from him this season. I want to see, given a full season, what he can do.
Yeah, I think he's riding that cusp. It's going to be a very competitive training camp.
Yeah, it is. It should be fun. We'll have a couple more shows, I guess, before July 1st. We'll do a draft preview with Russ Cohen.
Yes, we will.
And we'll revisit our over-unders, and we'll hopefully our next show we'll analyze the Leonard and Lee contracts.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do shows based on breaking news, and I just have a feeling within these next couple of days we're going to have things to talk about. And then one thing, we got the Line A report from before we go. Dave Pignota reported the whole Line A story. Dave Pignota, Fourth Period and Sirius XM Radio, who's really becoming one of the go-to insiders in the game. He also talked about the Islanders having interest in Erik Karlsson and Artemi Panarin. So this could be an interesting offseason.
Yes, and if I will tell you right now, I'm sure my wife will have something to say about it, but if the Islanders do end up signing Panarin, I will name my upcoming son, who will be born in August, Artemi.
Now, what if they get Erik? Could you name him Carl? Then he'd just be Carlson.
Carlson? Yeah, I mean,
Carl.
Carl.
Carl. His middle name could be Fogelman. Carlson Fogelman.
Carlson.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah. Or if they get Line, you can name him Patrick.
Oh, no, just Line. Line Fogelman. That actually sounds good. I like it.
Yeah. How about Offer Sheet? Offer Sheet
Fogelman. Oh, God. Can we get to some real news soon?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, speaking of Erik Karlsson, I mean, that is... He could be mentioned that he's not coming here. I think it's either going to be the Rangers or back to...
I don't believe that. I think he's going back
to San Jose. I think it's really going to go back to San Jose. I know
I think they're going to get to that window period, and I think Dallas is going to meet with him. Lou's wanted him twice already. He wanted him in Toronto, and he wanted him in Long Island.
They'll meet with him, you know, of course, but I don't think he's going to come here. I really don't.
No, but that doesn't mean the Islanders aren't going to meet with him and make him an offer.
No, go for it. I mean, he should do that. That's Lou's job. But
and I would take him too. Even on one foot, he's still a 60-point defenseman. They would certainly if Erik Karlsson couldn't improve your power play, then they would just start forfeiting penalties.
You know, if you have him there, you end up going with three forwards, two defensemen, because you have Pulak, who would just be ready just to
fire. Yeah, you're right.
You know, because you wouldn't have the four forwards. And then you could play the four forwards on your second power play. You would have Taze.
Yeah. Well, of course, we'll cross that bridge once that happens.
Yeah, And we'll sit down and have a drink with Scotty Gomez, and we'll map this out.
Yeah, we'll get one of those dry erase boards, and we'll show them what to do.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so funny how... Anaheim still hasn't hired a coach, so that kind of leaves the Islanders in limbo with Lane Lambert.
I thought they were going to hire the coach of San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And aren't they in the Calder Cup Finals still?
No, they lost in the conference finals.
Chicago. Who did they lose to? Chicago. Oh, that's right, Chicago. Yeah. Right. I thought they were waiting until that was over with, but there were many reports thought that he was going to. He was I can't remember who was coaching in San Diego, but he was the favorite for the job.
Marty Schottenheimer?
No, not Marty Schottenheimer.
Bruce Bochy?
Bruce Bochy coached in San Diego?
Yeah, he was in the World Series in 98 against the Yankees.
Oh, wow, I completely forgot about that. All I remember from that World Series was when Tino Martinez struck out on that changeup that was not called a strike.
It was a ball.
The next pitch put a grand slam into the first deck of Yankee Stadium. Yeah,
off of Mark Langston.
Mark Langston, yes.
Yeah.
Great pitcher.
Yeah, that was a ball, though. You know, for a sweep, that was a real exciting World Series. With the Brochus
home runs. It actually was. All those games were super tight.
That was a fun year.
But I'll still never forget the when they were down. Were they down two games to one to Cleveland?
Yes, and then El Duque pitched.
And El Duque came in and just shut everything down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll never forget. I my obsession with El Duque, I love that man.
He was great, yeah.
And if you ever get a chance to, if you haven't already, watch the 30 for 30 on Levon and Orlando Hernandez. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was tremendous. And he was, I think, probably 45 when he came to the Yankees anyway.
He was 63 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I think he made his debut in the old-timers' day before he actually pitched a regular season game.
Could you imagine if he played here in his 20s? And it's like, we'll tie it back to hockey. Like, there were so many great Russian players. If you imagine if, like, Larionov or Fetisov or Markov came over when they were 18.
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
Tretiak. I feel like we were robbed of a generation of Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, you know, that's what the Cold War
And some be. Of them still came over and still made the Hall of Fame. That's what's so amazing.
I know, yeah. Imagine like, even like baseball, but go back to baseball. Ichiro was here from like 21 years old. He totally would have broke Pete Rose's hitting record.
Most yeah, if you combine his hits, he did, right?
Yeah, I think he would have totally done it. Because what did he end up getting, like over 3,000 in how many years?
Over 3,000, yeah, and he had a couple thousand in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, he was fantastic.
I loved him when he was a Yankee. I wish he could have came over there when he was 19 years old, not the tail end.
Yeah, I know. It would have been nice. But wait, okay, so I'm watching Yankee right now. Did Mark Price change his number? Didn't he used to be single digits?
Who?
Mark Price. My God.
Mark David Price.
David Price? David Price, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what his number is. I'm not up on my Red Sox numbers.
Because right. I thought he used to be single digits. I said Mark Price before because Zach bought a box of Panini basketball cards like 2 weeks ago, and he pulled.
Yes, for our younger viewers, Mark Price was point guard of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 80s and early 90s. Yeah. Very good player.
Yeah, and he pulled a Mark Price auto card.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's a great player. I don't know if you're buying a pretty expensive box of cards if that's who you want to be getting.
No, it wasn't. He was like looking to sell it already, and like he called a couple places, and no one was like, "Nah, the card's worth $5."
Yeah, exactly.
And I looked at him like, "Oh wow, it's a pretty cool card," you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a really nice card, but you know that. Yeah, unless you're selling it, even the Price family probably give you like $7 or $8 for it.
Yeah, totally. Oh well. Yeah. All right, Dan. I think we babbled long enough here.
Yes, we did. But we'll see you guys soon. Like I said, as news dictates, we will be around.
Yeah, especially those offer sheets.
Oh.